members, we agree that we should start. We should start with our meeting. And Andy, we are fine. Okay. Bamaso, why are we getting up and above to me? Bamasondo can't be far away when we're dealing with issues of religion. Can't be far away from us. Otherwise, quarrels will come. Now, colleagues, we are on our agenda. We are having a meeting just to deal with the report of the committee on our interaction with the sector, our interaction with the commission. We are not writing a report for a commission. The commission writes its own report. We don't represent them. They represent themselves. We are commenting on their report that is presented for us. And then we are saying this is a view that we are expressing. After this, it's up to them whether they consider our views or not consider them. It's up to them. And then to see how they want to deal with some of the issues. We are going to consider what we think should be approached on matters that all of us we know about. We have engaged with many research centers. They visited us for, I think it was for 2 days. It was last year. And then we have an engagement there, a very good engagement. Very exhaustive, but a very good engagement. The problem with religion and other discussions, we can discuss them until the next 1,000 years. Sometimes we want to agree on some of the issues, we agree on some of the issues. And the state and the religion is always an issue for many years. Something that always is resolved in other areas are not resolved. People got different views on some of the issues, religion and women, all that. Generally, there will always be discussion about some of these matters. But for a constitutional democracy, we've got some responsibility ourselves to look at issues objectively and see how do we see the situation. And then as a committee of National Assembly, all Chapter 9 institutions that come to Parliament, they allow a platform to report. They report to committees of Parliament. They can also report it to the chamber, depending how we want the report to be presented. We are always open about Chapter 9 institutions. We engage with them objectively. They've been reporting to us. I think they've done a good job. And then we may not agree with them in terms of the rating. We may agree with them in terms of other issues. But they've done a very good job. And of course, those who came before the committee, they expressed their views, different views, general understanding of the issues. And I think we respected all the views expressed by everyone who attended our meeting. And of course, we are not professors of religion ourselves as members of parliament. Anyway, very few even go to areas of religion. I've never seen Yambos a single day, except when there's a funeral. Just to go and pray, I never seen him. Therefore, he wouldn't be an expert on religion. But he's an expert in terms of the constitution of the country, how we should relate the South African, the society, the state, and the church, and the religion, and the church. And then what are the borderlines? And the understanding that the state has responsibility to protect everyone in the society. Irregardless, whether you camouflage this as your traditional issues of the Nkomanes, whatever, the state has a responsibility of protecting life and property. That's what a state is all about, is to protect life and property. Therefore, there will never be a state anywhere in the world that folds its arms and says, see to it, because we are believing in this and this, therefore can do whatever you like. There will be no state anywhere in the world that will do that. The state has a responsibility to protect life and property. And then those who are running the state, they can't outsource that responsibility. They can't outsource that responsibility. All state organs can't outsource that responsibility of protecting life and property. Therefore, our engagement today is informed by our understanding of the constitution of our country, but understanding what is it that we are dealing with. And I know myself and Honorable Masondo, when we discuss about the soccer games, we never agree. Never agree, in fact, despite the fact that we've been discussing this thing for the last 45 years, but we never agree a single day. And therefore, I've accepted that I will never agree with him on soccer games and how Pirates performed, and how Morocco Swallows was relegated. We discussed this thing for several times. Don't agree. Therefore, I've got no intention to convince him that Arsenal is a better team. I've got no interest to convince him on this. Therefore, we engage general on these issues. But it doesn't endanger the life and property of anyone. Doesn't endanger the life and property of anyone, any damage on this issue. Therefore, our understanding of engagement with the religious sector is really to have a common understanding how you want to work together. And then what are the issues and what are the problems. First, we understood in the meeting that there is a general understanding that we can't abuse religion. General understanding that we shouldn't also encourage commercialization of religion and abuse the belief of people. General. In fact, I don't remember a single individual standing up in the meeting and say abuse forward with abuse. It seems everyone says somewhere something must be done to address this. What we don't agree on, I guess, would be what should be that thing that need to be done by all of us to ensure that we are protected. And I thought I must just prefix this with understanding exactly what you are trying to do. We'll open our meeting, we'll deal with our own report on this year, and have a view on some of the issues there. And then we'll see then what we want to do. But I want to introduce our new executive secretary of the chair, because I think members of parliament always have to link with the chairperson of a portfolio committee. Then we thought that we should introduce her, Melham, that you don't know who to approach, because you write anyway, you're a good writer of letters. And I tried to visit you when you were in. I invited you anyway to attend the ANC birthday rally. And then we didn't come because when you are. Oh, okay. You were there. Okay. That's good. There's a young lady there at the back. You stand up, sis. And then she's Lule Kwankunkuma. She has been assigned to work with me, and they of course working with the committee in terms of you when you want to know how things are happening. Nyambos, Mboni? We always set up many meetings, and at least you must know who to approach them to set up the meeting. We do have a copy, not a long copy. We do have a very brief copy, and ourselves, we have to look at it. And of course, Beverly, who has been working with us, she has been reassigned to work at NCOP, assisting the chairperson that side, the economic side of things. She is doing economic studies, then she's going to benefit a lot by working with people always dealing with the economic issues. And not because we're very difficult to her. She appreciated a lot the letters from Melham. Some of the letters from Melham, they demand. There's no request in Melham. We demand this. We demand Van Rooyen must appear before the committee. We demand this. We demand this. And then Beverly had been able to manage his friend, her friend in Melham daily, how to deal with this. Now at least there's Lula. Lula is going to assist us on that. There is a draft report, colleagues. It's a draft report because it's not a final report. Lulekwa. Okay. And is our draft report, meaning we still have to finalize it. We still have to finalize it as a committee. And our friend of the commission, the leadership is here. Umama, Mukwana Saluva, Ukona Lavit, Baba Professor Msomu Kona, Yeho Ikona. Bamsan, you are around there. Aguna Kakat. Really, back on and our round, and just to hear what is our view, what are the issues. And of course, they always sit down as a commission, they're given this responsibility by the Constitution, they'll look at the matters. They may also themselves say, man, the committee report maybe is not correct there and there, but they're not drafting our report. They may hear what the committee is thinking about some of the issues. They may have other issues that they think also they complement what they're doing. They would decide themselves anyway, independent of us, how they want to handle some of the issues. Then the report is very brief for it. There's introduction of our report. There's a background information. There are bullet points on page one. Complex issues there that have to be of reference, really, how things should be addressed. Can we move to page 2?
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. It's just the numbering. The report. You see that when we come to point 4, it's not in place and only comes later on page 6 after 4.3. So 4 should come before 4.3 and 4.2. So the question of numbering and so on, which is a minor issue that comes so.
I have no problem with the numbering. I have a problem on page 2 with the paragraph above number 3. Yeah. I think it should read something along the lines of, in the view of the CRL, the proposed amendment would ensure. Because there was a lot of dispute about that view. So that's their opinion. And I think that we need to make it clear that that's their opinion.
Well, that
have a relatively minor point on the government role, this whole question of regulation. I think that as this committee should know that there'll always be people who argue that there shouldn't be regulation. Regulation is bad. It's an ideological question, really. But as you correctly pointed out, Chairperson, at the beginning with your comments, it's very, very important that government should play its rightful role and regulate, especially where communities are getting negatively affected by practices. I'll come back to later on to comment, but it's very important that this point of regulation be emphasized, or regulating be emphasized.
No, thanks, Chair. Another thing on 3.1, I think the report must also, I'm not disputing what is written here is correct, but it must also acknowledge that there are others that were not being part of this system. Because others, they raised that they were not consulted. But I think the report, it must acknowledge that. So that when they come later to later stage, we knew that if they want a space or whatever, that can still be viewed and seen how to be engaged on the sampling point.
Can we point out that there was a lot of dispute as to how the sampling was conducted? In other words, that there were a number of organizations that complained that they had not. We do, as Honorable Mthethwa has suggested, but I think it needs to go further, that people were very outraged by the fact that there had been a relatively small sample size given the number of religious bodies and organizations and the like.
Process. Because decision-making processes of parliament must allow the public doesn't mean necessarily that if you participate, therefore you are you in the decision of the court. It doesn't mean that. You are participating because you want to influence members of parliament to consider your view, your ideas. They may consider your ideas if, of course, you have a logical, and then you have research, you are aware. And then if they don't consider your ideas, it doesn't mean that they didn't consult. And that doesn't mean that you didn't consult, it's that they didn't agree with your view. And that's the issue that generally sometimes causes a lot of problems now. I know anyway, you are there, we went and consulted with some traditional leader. And then, so all of them, when they appeared before the high panel, what is the high panel chief, Comrade Salim Amusani, some were in fact shouting in those meetings said that we're not concerned. And then I think it's the nature sometimes of the situation like ours. We are young democrats, we keep building the future of the state. And then the consultation process is going to take long and we appreciate that by society. Then we must never get tired when people disagree with us. And also say they were not consulted when they're consulted, we must know that democracy is an ever evolving concept. There's no perfect democracy anywhere that is. It's an ever evolving concept in general. Therefore, I think we're in the process of refining what we understand by democratic participation of all. Then we should move, for instance, deal with issues that were raised and finding there for
So on the first bullet, there's no comprehensive data of religion. I think even structure, they must also use if it is database including structure. There are no proper structures in other churches. Maybe that result is when the priest becomes the chair and also the treasurer of the church. And the bullet one. Maybe I'll need some further explanation of bullet 7. Lack of participation of women in the leader.
It doesn't consider bullets, the bullets in general, one bullet to just to move with them and put it to them. It's another form of discussion about this matter. If I'm not wrong, in the top rules, since the NAM, the past, they want also get involved. And they think that there has been the past, they have almost agreed. No one knows.
Financial abuses is a big problem. In fact, very few of those who appeared before our committee didn't raise these issues one way or another. And then many of them were raising these issues, General, that it's becoming problematic now. That people who are poor, because I would have thought that the state must always protect also the poor people. Because when your belief system is abused, and then you become victim of circumstances. But it's worse in South Africa, even doctors also got abused. Professor Muson, God approves, you are safe. Professor is supposed to be the most advanced Greek society. But you are safe also, God abuse. And then you take the entire pension and you are going to contribute and the families break down and all this. I think the point that is made there, and the point is made very seriously, financial abuse of worship. And of course, you can argue also that if I get my pension and willingly, I take my money and donate it, it's my wish to do so. And you may argue those points, really. I think we can argue many other issues in terms of religion and belief system. And then lack of financial management and governance structures was a big issue. And race general, that we must deal with it. Well, the issue that was raised was not so harshly. It was the issue of women leadership in the institution. Some raised them. I'm not sure it's a bigger issue that need all of us to work on it. But it was raised. I think the report is just taking it. Yeah. We're taking it now and see what we want to do. I think generally is about empowerment generally in the even in the religious sector of women, gender issues, given the fact that international now, every corner of the world now, people talk about women's participation, women empowerment, in divorce anyway. And there are a lot of female colleagues also attended now because people started complaining that it can't be just a male business forum. Women also should participate. Generally, people are changing. I think it was raised in that context that all structures of a society should consider also that half of a society, in fact, more than half of society are female. They must also participate in some of these structures that are there in society. That thing is raised in that context. That is a bigger empowerment. And then I don't think it's about them becoming bishop or all that. Well, of course, if they qualify, they'll become bishop or churches, that's sure. But there's a broader context of the participatory approach, also empowerment of women internationally. It's not just about South Africa. I think it was an international issue that was raised there. And the following bullet, Catholic religious organization, was raised also on that one. There were examples, really, that there are issues. I think there's one denomination somewhere in Eastern Cape. I think it's in P.E. Mela, where children are not allowed to go to school. And then they go there and then never go to school. But I'm not sure why we even allow this thing to happen. Because we said that we got the right to go to school. That's why we are giving people, those who are poor, those of course within the limit, free education. We can have a situation where people don't go to school, young children. I think the point that is raised there, that is a bigger problem there. A very, very controversial one is also unconventional preaching styles. And then that's a very controversial one. We don't know even ourselves how do we define it, but it was raised several times. Whether it's something that we should consider ourselves or not. Honorable Mtem.
Thank you, Chair. As you were speaking, I asked Honorable Mteto actually what is his issue about the lack of participation of women. So I'm saying we generally we are agreeing that they are congregants, but it's in terms of the responsibilities. They might be there, his leadership, yeah, so now he is raising a point that we need to quantify this sentence. You know, it must at least show what is it that we are, what is it that he's saying or what is it that he it wants to achieve.
on the that point on Catholic religious organizations, I think that the world has gone much further than is the case in South Africa in terms of dealing with this kind of problem. And this problem has been experienced to a great degree in countries like America. I know that there's been cases also in Uganda and elsewhere. But America seems to have had bigger numbers in terms of the challenge. So I would say there that I think what we should do is to use this point and this finding to educate people, as it were, in advance of these things happening in our own country later on. For instance, the chap in America called Charles Mason, he's just recently died in prison. These are like groupings where they promise people that they'll go to heaven and the time will be fairly soon. And they get them out to particular farms and cooperatives of sorts to stay there and work there for free without payment and without sometimes even observing labor standards, like getting young kids to work child labor and so on. And on a particular day, they are all told to gather together and they are given something to drink and then they die in big numbers. So this kind of problem is likely to occur elsewhere in the world outside of America and the country where this has been an experience. So all I'm saying there is that when we talk about Catholic religious organizations, we must give a hint that there are various studies that have been done and various information that is available, and find a way of adding that on so that when these things happen, we are ready to deal with them. Now, I'm not saying the details were raised in the meeting. What I'm saying is that it must be clear that when we talk about cult-like organization, what are we talking about? Because there's a lot of literature and information on this point.
Actually, I think we're getting a bit sidetracked here, because all we're looking at here in this particular section, 3.2, is what the committee found in their report and summarizing it. And those were the findings that the committee came up with. We can't add our own findings in here, because this is the findings of the commission. So this is what they reported that they found. So I think we need to just be careful that we don't insert things that the commission did not find or that are on top of what the commission found in here. We need to, this is a summary of what they found.
All I'm saying is, we need to have some clarity. Maybe an avoid meeting. We need to have some clarity. What are religious organizations? What are we talking about? Because if we don't clarify that, we may not achieve the outcome.
Chair, and the fact that we were there, I think the important things about this report that makes us to add some of the other issues is the fact that we were there. That's one. Secondly, Chair, when we see that the sentence is written in a context that did not really address what was raised in the meeting, I think also is what makes us to engage the report. Like when I added that the commission has left out the issue of structures. It must be there, Chair, because we were trying just to add up what we thought is not captured in the report.
I'm sorry, Chair, I have to disagree.
3.2 is about the findings of the commission. In other words, what was in their document. Not anything else, it's about that. That's what the heading says. And it was their hearings, not our hearings, that's their hearings. If you go towards the end of the document on page 6, it's entitled 4, but that is where we start bringing in our hearings and the inputs that we received from the various organizations. And we can bring in the stuff that Honorable Msondo and Honorable Mthethwa are raising, but it must come in under that section, committee observations. Not commission's report, because it's a different process. This is all about the report that they generated and presented to us.
That we are going to have as a committee our own observation. Our own observation, how do we observe, what are the issues?
Are we not allowed to engage the commission report to share?
No, but the finding of the commission, we can't change it. It's reported like that in the report that they presented to us. It is acknowledged as such, but your comment will come when you are making your own observation as a committee, also taking into consideration the engagement. All the names of the judicial sector that came before us, then we can work out on that. At the moment, really, this is just three. It's just commission.
Of the previous section, just above 4.1, there it says clear separation between business and activity and religious activity should always be maintained. And then it says, while the religious institutions were free to start businesses in their own business, that sentence just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It doesn't have a verb in it or anything.
Let us go for 4.1, an observation there. but also the other issue that you come to when you make this.
On page 6, under 4.2, the very first bullet point. I don't have a problem with what's being said there in principle, but I do have a problem with the words public money. Public money refers to, in normal terms, state money. And I think that we need to be careful about misapplying a term that doesn't really apply in this case.
I think they talk about money of people, generally.
Yeah, I think we need to be very careful, maybe while using congregants' money,
yeah.
would be more accurate. But to say public money is not public money. It's not money that's owned by the state, or it's not from the public good.
We'll find a better way of placing it. I understand the point that you are raising. The straightforward. They want to read the report. Straightforward. You can say today you want this house, the next day the house is converted into a shed. I'm told anyway there are 500,000 churches in Johannesburg, one of those. All of them never applied to you. You were there 10 years as the mayor. And the 500,000 simply means that every day there were 7.
No, it's really a minor point, Chairperson, but which I think it's important. And I think that the last bullet point, is just about 4.3, lack of leadership succession plans, refugee net to conflict division and litigation. I agree with the point totally, 100%. It's just that I feel there's something missing there. And I'm not saying it necessarily be put in this section. Really, the fact that people have died already in conflicts related to inability to put on the table succession plans in quite a number of churches. Shembe is one of them. Mudise in Soweto is another example. I'm sure there can be other examples. That the point of conflict that lead to fatalities, I think is something that needs to be catered for or covered somewhere in the as a result of this problem. So that when it comes to recommendations in general, we're able to say we're encouraging or a particular kind of practice being encouraged to avoid this kind of problem. So some people have even lost, I mean, like relatives Because they can't point this thing very far. They can relate to it directly. In the Catholic Church, there's a very clear way. I'm not saying nothing. Everyone should copy the Catholic Church. The bishop are summoned and so on. They come there, they pray. In a particular procedure, at some point when the chimney let out a particular color of smoke, everyone knows that the Pope has been elected. And that's the end of the mess. In other churches, there are always allegations of a letter was left by the leader and it gave it to Datemutsipe, that the next leader of the church is pulled away. And it leads to all sorts of problems and difficulties. So I'm just saying that conflict, the word conflict, division, litigation somewhat covers the issues, so I can understand that. But I think that there's something missing there that we need to capture. Maybe if not in this section, somewhere else.
Okay, so we have to find it somewhere. This organization that came to our own party engagement, I guess that all of them are listed. And we thank them also for coming. When I will tell them, we are going for you now.
Chair, I think we need to note that there was extensive disagreement. And when I say disagreement, there were two sides to the debate. I'm not saying that one side should be preferred over another. I'm saying that we observed that there was disagreement over the constitutionality of the recommendations of the CRL. Because we heard that. That there were people that said, no, this must be implemented, and there were people that said, no, it mustn't be implemented, that it was unconstitutional. So there were questions over that. Chair, I think we also need to note that we were presented with a charter of religious, I can't remember the exact term, I think it was a charter of religious rights that had been adopted by a number of organizations, which addressed some of the concerns and indicated an attempt to self-regulate. Chair, I think from an observation perspective, yeah, I think let's leave it there from an observation perspective. I've got some ideas and recommendations that I'd like to propose.
Can it be noted, Chair, that that recommendation that the committee, we did not approve the report. No, we were differ with that report. I don't know where that sentence is coming from. I remember we were differ with the report, and that's why we said this is an ongoing report until it's finalized. So for me, I'm not really represented by the last bullet, Chair, that the we rejected this report, their report, if you read the sentence.
Oh,
we didn't, Chair. We didn't, Chair.
No, just to say that I'm of the view that we should note that there is a need. I mean, of course, the debate can go on forever, consultation can go on forever, and so on. But we must find a way of engaging civil society. So not just limit this thing to churches and religious organizations. There are many organizations out there from whose wisdom we can benefit. It must not go on forever and so on, but I think it would be useful to do that. And this will encourage transparency and other good practices. The second point that I want to raise is the sense that I got at the meeting. There were some people who were religious scholars who had a detailed presentation to me. There's a booklet, for instance, that I got from one such participant. I think he's participated on behalf of his own church at the UN when these kinds of issues were being debated and so on. Even there, I'm not saying that we should really like talk to every individual scholar and so on, because there are many such people. But it would be very useful to touch base with the scholars on this one.
Yes, as I recall, there was an idea
mooted out at the end of the debate, given to the conflict that was existing among religious leaders, that they should go and form a forum that could actually come forward with how they will be regulating themselves and make a presentation to this committee. If my memory serves me well, it seems that we did touch that point. Given the disagreement, we could not decide as a committee, but we said they must go and sit down as religious leaders and see how they come out with a document.
Do you think that should come under recommendation?
And also bullet two, Chair. They noted that the fact that domination was summoned to appear before the Commission of Domination to appear before was not done in good faith. Can I get a clarity there, Chair? That sentence to me, it must be deleted. I'm saying this sentence doesn't make sense when it says that it was not done in good faith. What was it? It was done because the selection that was done there, it was in good faith for a start. And then I don't understand, or not unless somebody explained to me what exactly they mean about that good faith. It was not done in good faith. Or the commission explains to me until I'm confused. I'm convinced.
Chair, as I recall, the argument that was put forward in those meetings was that they did not like the idea of being summoned, that they would have gladly attended if requested, but the fact that they were issued with a summons to appear before was a slap in the face of these religious organizations. So that's where the in good faith, and that they had not been requested, they'd not been asked, they'd not been, you know, it was just a case of you appear and you must appear, and if you don't appear, we will take legal action against you. And that's essentially what they received, a notice that said that. So the argument that was put forward, and this is what I observed, other people's observation might vary, but the argument that I observed was that they felt that it had not been done in good faith because they had been summoned and threatened with legal action if they did not appear.
Chair, that's not true, because there we were shown letters for people to be asked to come and appear before the commission. And those that finally refused to do so, those are the only people that were summoned. It was discussed in an open meeting, and those people did not put forward their argument thereafter. Not unless the commission was drafting down each and everything that was discussed there. Therefore, it means then the report, we still need a thesis of this report. If it is gold, it's going to go like that. That's why I felt, Chair, that this sentence is, for somebody who was not in the meeting can be misled and don't understand the whole content. I still propose, Chair, that this sentence must be deleted, if that is the explanation I've got from Mel.
Chair, maybe we can ask the commission, they're sitting right here, can we ask them directly whether or not every attendee was issued a summons to attend those hearings?
So directed by the Honourable Chair.
I want to give you an option to assist if you want to assist. You can assist us if you want to assist. There's nothing wrong.
Okay. The reality we went through was that at first, we had partnered with the South African Council of Churches. We went around and we discovered that
there was lack of participation from the religious sector. As we're going round, we're not getting people to come forward. We then said, because this will end up being a fruitless and wasteful expenditure process, we need to then look at what does the law say in such cases, because it says you may do so. Then we discovered that to save ourselves from fruitless and wasteful expenditure, let's follow what the Act says we must do. This is a Section 7 investigation, and our Act in Section 7 outlines what it is that we must do. And it's not in bad faith. It's implementing the law and to make sure that we don't come back to this committee with a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So we then said we're starting afresh now. And we're no longer sending out invites. We're now going to be sure that when we get to Cape Town, people in Cape Town will be there. So it wasn't just threatening people out of context to say we're just fleshing our muscle. It was to look at the Act, to look at the PFMA, and then to say we are going to start afresh because the other process is not working. But to prove that we're right, others refused to come anyway. So it proves that it wasn't in bad faith. We didn't just start out to say we're going to be harassing people. I agree with the issues raised by the Honourable that we're not doing it in bad faith. If it said that we're doing this thing in bad faith, then that's where we would have started and would have targeted
settings. There's
a process before we issue summons.
Yeah. Sorry, can I clarify something, Daniel?
Every organization that appeared before the commission, every single one received a summons to appear. And in that summons, there was the threat of legal action. And in our hearings, I'm not talking about the commission hearings, I'm talking in our hearings, the complaint from those people was that they had been summoned, and that if they had been asked, they would have come. But the complaint was from them that they had been summoned, and they felt that it had not been done in good faith, that they had been treated badly and threatened in the process. Now, we if you read the sentence, the committee noted that most of the organizations raised the following issues. In other words, they raised those issues. This is not our opinion. This is their opinion. And their opinion was that they had been summoned to appear before the commission and that the summons was not done in good faith. That's their opinion. We can agree with it. We can disagree with it. But the point of the fact is that they said that it had not been done in good faith. And that's what we are observing. And we cannot observe otherwise because they said it.
Not unless it's written, I still feel that sentence must be deleted. Not unless it says some
they felt that way. But it's not everybody, Chair. And particularly those that were not that would have raised this, they were not in the meeting. People, 90% of the people in the meeting, or of the nations, I don't remember them saying this sentence. If it's some, then I understand, Chair. But if for somebody who's outside this meeting and read this thing, it was not representing everybody.
The point that you were raising, all of them said, we really request this. We think it's going to be very helpful. And then what we should, generally, I think, a recommendation on our side was going to be that. But you were saying, therefore, that all other issues that worry them about the sector as a whole can also be worked out there. All the scholars or the committees in their own commissions, small commissions, in conferences like that. You said that that idea is a good idea. Of course, on the issue, who sponsored this, who gave money, who arranged it, the role of the commission in that, is an issue that we should consider. I think all of them were very open to this idea. In fact, I don't remember a single one saying that that idea is wrong. It seems the sector, truly speaking, first they accept that there's an abuser. People are abused religion and the belief of it. They accept that. In fact, I don't know anyway. Secretary, I think we're not more than known. I don't remember a single person standing up there defending that. You think everyone accepts that there's a problem. But the point that they were raising as a recommendation themselves was for that. But we prefer to self-regulate ourselves. That's the point that was that we really prefer to self-regulate ourselves before they argue the majority, the separation, the state, and the church. And then they raise some of those issues, general objectives. And that, you know, it must be controlled by state, all these things, all the issues that we raise. But I think there's an idea, Chair, they're general, there, people who are working with this sector themselves, they must be open-minded. Everyone accepts first what is good, that everyone accepts that we abuse the problem. And then, therefore, how do you address this abuse? We may differ on how we do it, but it's an aspect. And that this thing of abusing people, giving them petrol, dooming them, all this is an abuse. I think there's an acceptance of that. I think in my view, though,
Once the society agrees that there's a problem, then we have to find solutions. I think they were saying that the National Conservative Conference, organized by these dominations, I think there's the Young Christian Church, the Independent African one, there are established churches there, Catholic churches. There are many churches anyway that are available there. There are too many. I don't know how many there are. But it seems all of them, they got that feeling that if they have this, maybe the idea should not be rejected generally. On the basis of resources that who funds this, I think the commission may consider. Professor Mtumwa, you can go all over the world and fundraise. World Council of Churches, I think, would be available to assist you. But I'm just saying that we shouldn't reject the idea because of the money and resources issue. Because since all of them, we have a very genuinely calling for some form of a conservative. And I think that we should take advantage of that. Let's take advantage that everyone has said that there's a problem. And no one defends it. Very few people stood up there and say it's correct to drink petrol. In fact, I didn't hear anyone there who said that. And I don't think anyone said it's correct to doom people. And then since everyone has said that there's something that is wrong, then the level. And also the solution that I proposed. And I think that's an issue. In fact, there were problems in the National Conservative Conference, and then the Manhattan, the Richard Charter, something like that, they were talking about their rights, everything that can be discussed. And then the ultimate issue that they were raising, that they would come with a vote that then regulate them, generally speaking. But also then the commission, how it relates to the commission is an issue that all of us must discuss and find out what it is. It's a very big sector. In fact, it's a very big sector. It is a sector that is very big. The problem of a sector that people are very passionate about. That soccer fans are very passionate about. Very passionate. You can't convince them otherwise, therefore. Once themselves say there's some people who are abusing sex, we must get rid of this rotten element. I think we must take advantage of it and then find a way of working with them to address this challenge. And I think that's the point that I think at least the commission has assisted us now to have society engaged. And then we should then find a solution on it.
Thank you. I think you've raised a very good point here, and that is that the various participants all called for a national consultative conference. I think that the CRL Act actually makes provision for this in Section 24, and it actually imposes an obligation on the CRL Commission to convene such a national consultative conference twice in their term of office. Now, I am aware that the Commission is going to say, but we don't have money for it. But the Act also says that they may go about fundraising to assist. They can go to these religious bodies and say, please, will you contribute towards a national consultative conference where we can have this dialogue?
I think for a while you can do that. So that's a lot of poor organizations.
But, Chair, if we can go further, there are very, very wealthy churches in South Africa that I'm sure would want to contribute to this dialogue. And if the CRL got out there and asked them, then they could actually call this meeting and have this discussion and this dialogue. That's the first thing. Chair, there are a number of issues here. So that's the first recommendation that I think we should put down, that the CRL must convene a national consultative conference of religious bodies to discuss this. The second is with regard to regulation and registration of religious bodies. I think we need to be very cautious here. And I think that we need to strengthen the existing legislation, and here I refer specifically to the Non-Profit Organizations Act and the Income Tax Act, both of which apply to religious bodies. We need to push for registration as non-profit organizations, and we need to push for enforcement of that act, which requires them to submit their financials. It requires them to submit their constitutions and the like, and changes in their leadership structures. So we need to strengthen that act and strengthen the enforcement of that act. So that's the second thing. The third thing is that, and this is where I disagree with the CRL recommendation. I don't believe that the structure that they propose in their report is constitutionally sound. I think it would be rejected very early on in the process by any competent court, that Section 15 of the Constitution would say you can't impose any thought process, any opinion, any belief system on any particular religious body. Section 15 of the Constitution says we have freedom of religion, freedom of belief, freedom of thought, and freedom of opinion. And it's a fundamental human right. And we cannot start saying what people must believe. So I think we need to be very cautious about adopting that part of the report. The last thing, or the two last things, there's a section in this report about advertising and abuse of media and the like. I don't remember the exact... abuse of media privileges and the way that matters are dealt with by the media, advertising of claims, etc. Chair, I think that in this regard, we must recommend a strengthening of ICASA and a strengthening of the Advertising Standards Authority to give them more teeth to penalize and take action against people making misleading claims. In other words, if there's no scientific evidence for a claim, then there should be no claim made in an advert. Whether that advert is a sticker on a wall or a TV advert, you can't make a claim unless there's scientific evidence. The last point, I think I've actually covered that one. Okay. Chair, let me leave it there for now. Those are the four that I would focus on right now as recommendations.
Okay, colleagues, we are just going for recommendations, taking advantage of the second step and third
and fourth.
Sorry, Chair, there is one more.
then I'll shut up. The last one is that arising out of that national consultative conference, that the religious sector themselves needs to develop a code of conduct for religious bodies and religious institutions, and that code of conduct then be recognized in terms of legislation. And we can recognize it through the NPO Act, where, you know, our legislation does make provision, our constitution makes provision for recognition of codes of conduct and codes of good practice. I think that should be incorporated into the NPO Act, and we need to liaise with the Department of Social Development in that regard.
No, I just want to make it clear that we should not subject religion to science. Let's not do that. That's going to cause the problem. And I can elaborate on this point. That's what I'm making appeal, that let's not subject religion to science. The debate on religion and science is a debate that has been going on for centuries. Sometimes there's a bit of a compromise, like the church that was presented in the hearing, where they said that theirs is called the scientific whatever church. And they not even Scientology, Scientology is something else. Something else. There's its own controversies and so on. So let's avoid that. The debate has been going on for a long, long, long period of time. The second point I want to make is that I don't know how many of us read the newspapers thoroughly as in ensuring that you read even that section where they promise you love and so on. Doctor love, doctor this, doctor that. And the Swahili is a specific section that's just devoted to that. The other newspapers have, not to the same extent. So that section it has lots of things. Apart from promise of love, there are other things there. And the Nigerians have become really expected and ensuring that they are covered quite extensively in that. As long as there's a disclaimer, I think what would be wrong is when that's where I agree with Ms. Miriam. It's when a public broadcaster like SABC TV SABC Radio is utilized for promoting these kinds of beliefs and ideas. That's where the caster and them come in. They must make sure that is tightly regulated. But the newspapers will never throw away with this idea of Dr. Love and so on. Because to put those adverts there require money. So we have to pay and they see it as part of generating revenue.
Major is also, I think we need also to strengthen the regulations on these areas. One, in terms of good governance structure. There is a gap there. And also to encourage that issues of registration. Because that's why we don't have a data. Anybody with three people can start up a church and four. At least we must have some minimum numbers.
We are only two
men in our church and 50 women. That's why I was questioning that point, Chair. What do you mean by leadership? By female being few in the church. But then, nevertheless, I'm saying, Chair, the issue of data is quite important, and the issue of registration, so that we know who's out there and what is doing. And that will take us to the issue of accountability and good governance.
Okay.
Chair, just two comments as follow-ups. First of all, I'm not suggesting that religion be subjected to science in the slightest. I'm saying that the adverts be evidence-based. In other words, you can't say, I will make you win the lotto, unless I can prove that you can win the lotto. I can't say that you will find... Chair, I'm sorry.
If I said you would say, I can say for you to win a lotto.
Chair, I'm not suggesting that the religion be subjected to it. I'm suggesting that the advert be subjected to it. In other words, you can't place an advert in the paper. You can't put a sticker on a wall. You can't put it on TV unless you can back up your claim. Unless there is data that says, I have prayed, and as a result, the following people have won the lotto because I prayed for them. Okay?
Otherwise
it's not evidence-based.
Okay, I like that.
So I'm saying that the advert must be evidence-based, not the religion. Okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is to what Honorable Mteto was saying, and that is that what I am proposing is that every single church, every single religious body must be registered. But they be registered in terms of the Non-Profit Organizations Act, which then brings in certain governance criteria. and requires that those governance criteria be followed and managed and reported on. Now, until we do that, and until we actually enforce those criteria, we're just creating another body to do what's already in the law. The NPO Act makes provision for that. And if we make sure that the non-profit organization's directorate in social development is enforcing the law and making sure that those organizations are submitting their financials, they're submitting their governance reports, so they're submitting their constitution, their changes in leadership, and the like, then we'll be okay. But until we start enforcing what we already have, making new legislation is not the answer. Making new legislation and making registration of individual priests and pastors and the like, that's not the answer either. What we've got to start looking at is how do we enforce our existing legislation better?
Another recommendation?
Indeed, religion should not be subjected to science, but the Christian faith is not unreasonable. Christian faith is not unreasonable. It's not a blind faith. Now, the issue of evidence has to do with the fact that when you make a claim, that claim must be substantiated. And I often say that what you call a miracle, in fact, is a violation of the laws of nature. A violation of the laws of nature. Because in the laws of nature, this is how things happen. But the miracle reverses that. You see? So the critical, important entry point into religion. When religious people say Jesus rose from the dead, I mean, somebody who dies for 3 days, the laws of nature says that person is dead. But if you are raised from after 3 days, then that violation of laws of nature exists. That's what a miracle is all about. So it's very, very important to look at these things, not from just the face value. So when somebody makes a claim to say this water heals, he's making a very serious claim, because normally water is not meant for healing. It's meant to sustain the body. But when that comes in, there's a different element altogether. Thank you.
Then the person must prove, give evidence. And if I give it by belief,
Chet, again, I think we're getting distracted from the issue here. I did not say that we need to test people's belief. If they believe that this water heals, that's their belief. The Catholic Church believes that you are given the body and the blood of Christ when you take communion. That is a belief, okay? But what I'm saying is that when you advertise, when you put it in the media, you cannot make a claim that this water heals without proving that the water heals. And that's already in the legislation. It's already in the ASA regulations. We just need to enforce it stronger. That you can't go and advertise something that is blatantly unprovable. If you can prove it, that's great. If you can't prove it, it's faith and it must stay in church.
You can do that, but in your own space.
In your own space. You can't do it in the media.
Protect society from life.
That's why we have a slight difference of opinion with Member Miller. You see, there's a chap called Pastor Joshua. I'm sure I've heard of him. From Nigeria. That's a fellow whose church collapsed and South Africans died and so on. And made all sorts of claims about why the church collapsed, etc. Now, it's not just Joshua alone. There are a whole range of others. They make these claims, Jefferson, of water healing and other things about water healing. Every day. Pastor Joshua is on channel 39 something before you reach channel 400. Yeah? Every day. The Sweden has a page. The Sun, I'm sure, has a page somewhere where these claims are made. So I'm saying that we should just be careful about that kind of thing, because it's already there. It's happening on a day-to-day basis in newspapers. There's no test there that is subject to advent to. The advent is made. If you've lost your lover, this church says, no, if you contact me, I'll bring back your lover. I'll bring him back. He doesn't even know what the issue is. Why you have this conflict and problem and so on. So, mine is not an attack on any religion or anything of that kind. But all I'm saying is that these are there, and there's no. So I can't understand anything of a test, subjected that to a test. What test?
Thanks, Chair. I think I need to say something about the issue of the National Consultative Conference, because it's in the legislation, and the legislation is very clear about, for instance, what is the purpose. And it even says who needs to be invited. It's not for one sector. You only convene a national consultative conference for cultural, religious, and linguistic communities together. So our challenge with that, because we've looked into that, is that the other two sectors will say, you've been able to get to a national consultative conference with just one sector. So all we're saying is that maybe the committee must look at the Act itself and see what the Act says we can or cannot do around the national consultative conference. Because even people who must participate articulated there, how you get to the people. It's also there where you must advertise, who must be identified, who must attend. So if we change the Act and do something else, we'll be found wanting.
The approach, though, how we do it, I think we can be creative on it. And you can have your this sector that we are dealing with it can be followed by the cultural people, and they can be followed by other people who are covered in the broader sector. But I do think that the proposal must not be lost. How you do it then is another issue. But I think we must take advantage of the situation that everyone in the country agree that we are facing a problem in the sector. And then all of them, they want to participate in the resolution of the problem. Then taking advantage of that is a good thing to do. How you do that, you can look at it. There are a lot of men, in fact, we are told also how you do this thing, but we allow also by law to be creative. The law has never refused anyone to be creative within the principle of the law. You can do it, and then we succeed on this issue. Because I do think that if people say we are prepared to resolve our problem, the leadership issue facilitates the resolution of that problem. And then money issues, and then I think Melham was already making recommendations, and then how things can happen. I think you know them better. And the committee from time to time would be briefed by your committee about this matter. Would air our views, because we are very interested also on this issue, that take advantage of it. Because if we don't address this problem of abuse and commercialization, in 20 years' time we'll find it worse than what it is now. Therefore, when people say we agree, I'm a priest, but I also agree completely that there are people who are abusing. And then convene us in order to resolve it. I think our duty is to do so. And then we've got a platform national, we'll deal with it. Of course, you can come to traditional leaders and also go to traditional healers, Honorable Masondo, Daden, Baba, Baba One, in your paper, Baba, Baba, Baba. Yeah, the Oba, and Mama Haji, all that. It's called a young Angeles. That was busy and young and a young Angeles. But I think the religious commission was worried about what is happening right now. And then they must then address it too, because people are almost open. They criticize the commission here and there, but they agree also that we need to work together to resolve the problem. And I think we should do that to resolve that problem.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, let me make it very clear. I don't think that a national consultative conference should be exclusively for the religious bodies. I think it's an issue that affects every member of society, how we deal with this bigger issue, the abuse of religion, etc. So I think it should be a proper national consultative conference that they are mandated to do twice in their term. They haven't had one yet. They've got to do it twice in their term. And I'm proposing that one of the ways that they can fund it is to go to these religious bodies and say, we want to have this and we want to discuss this issue. Can you assist us with funding it? So that's my proposal. I want to highlight something that the chairperson of the commission did not address, and that is that the purpose of the National Consultative Conference in terms of Section 25A of the Act is the consideration of a report by the Commission and any recommendations of the Commission. The Commission must, in terms of this legislation, submit their recommendations to a National Consultative Conference. You are obligated to do it. It's your job to do it. I'm happy to assist, Chair.
To work it out, because it's been processes. One of the areas that we are proposing, we go to the very same people, say, please make some contribution. We want to have this national conservative conference, there's the Nyama Association, Traditional Healers Association. I think one of them can make some contribution. And then we can work it out really in a manner, because they are not refusing that to do that. I think they are know that. And twice in their term, resources are a problem, but I think generally all of us agree that let us take the advantage of the situation that everyone says we must solve the problem and then create a mechanism of dealing with that issue. They agree on that. And then we leave them that the recommendation is made, that they are here for that. Then the details of it can be worked out really as we move on. So when it's convened and then how it's working, who is invited. MLM would be invited to give a paper on evidence-based approach and fine, and it would be very nice to see him doing that.
In my own understanding, Chair, it was about we must also take into account the following. That's what the chairperson of the commission was raising, that we must also take into account that there are other three sectors that are linked into this. So we must not only focus in one area so that we are not being found wanting when the Act just is working against the Act.
I thought that we agreed that the Act is there, that all laws of the country are enabling. They enable you really to say that you district this way. And then, but they allow you also space to be creative in implementing the law. And I think that's the point, that not just even the three ones. Members of the society, some of them, they want also to participate in this because they're also concerned about their views of their views to stay. I think there's no problem in general that we are going to be dealing with that issue. And any other recommendation, good governance is very important. Because some of the problem anyway, in themselves, when they start fighting among themselves, is because of money problems. And therefore, there must be good governance. I think everyone understands that. But I think the consultative conference will assist them very to start sitting down and release them on these issues. Please, are you right? We agree that we can do it that way.
We've been talking about that as well.
We've been talking about it. Are you happy?
Very much.
Yeah. Okay. We don't have any recommendation now.
Any recommendation for us?
No, we are coming for a national vote. And then we hear what it is. That would be a process on Zoom. It would be a very nice one. It would be a really nice consultative conference. And then I think we must go for it. And then we must ensure that we organize it very well. And surely no one, I think, can find us guilty of trying to resolve the problem collectively. Like that in other sectors. Okay. Any other
Chair, we accept the responsibility. It's in fact incumbent upon us to convene the consultative conference. In fact, on two occasions when we presented our report, we did indicate the problem of funding. And I think members are raising the issue of fundraising, which I think is part of what is contained that. In addition to that, the access, in addition to money appropriated for that purpose by Parliament, so that is the aspect which we will try to fundraise. In the event that does not happen, we don't get the resources, but would also request that your assistance in getting the appropriate.
They'll fund this. Let us not take them for granted. I think they are really, they'll fund this, and then I think it's going to work. Instead, we start with them for the surplus. Then we must have a cabinet structure. Otherwise, I can start fighting over the surplus.
I honestly can't remember. In the requests for funding from the CRL, and I remember that they've asked for a national consultative conference, but have they costed it? Have they got a proposal? Have they got a plan of what it's going to entail? How many people, etc., etc.? And how much would be needed for it? Because until we know that, we don't know really what we're talking about yet. and whether or not there is the possibility of fundraising.
I honestly can't remember. Sorry.
And that.
Issue for me, sir, is the conflict of interest. We have discussed this issue within the Commission, not just about the long overdue National Consultative Conference, but a range of issues. For example, we're supposed to be independent, so we can't just source money from anywhere. Sourcing money for a conference from the religious sector is deeply problematic. So it should, if I may suggest in my own capacity, that the onus for raising funds should fall on our esteemed Parliament rather than on the Commission, even as the Commission does raise funds for its activities. But conflict of interest is a deep issue. Thank you, sir.
We'll have a meeting with the Commission to look at all those. Okay. We'll have some of that, but I find no reason why members of Parliament can fundraise. They also make laws that have been all of us.
Exactly.
And there is no contradiction, there is no conflict of interest in terms of that goal. And then we'll look at a department, they fundraise sometimes. Of course, there are a lot of fundraising by department too. And I think let us work it out. We'll find some solution for it. It's a good idea that we have this. And then surely we can resolve some of the problems. We won't resolve all the problems, but at least we have a national way of doing. And then we ourselves are able now to tell them that you do have a code of conduct. And whatever structure that they propose, and then I think we may find that the structure anyway have to link with you as one way or another. And then we can work out some of these issues. I think we can't fail to do something to address some of the challenges. We have identified it better than. Today, I think today we're a little bit humble, but when we're reporting this report, we identify a real problem. All of us, when we go around, we can see the problem. And sometimes it's very cold, and whatever kinds of people are in the tent, they're old people, they're afraid, they're there, it's winter, it's very cold, they are told that, you know, the spirit. There's no evidence for that. That your spirit make you walk. But I said your spirit will make you walk. And then some of them, in fact, got affected. They got pneumonia, all this. I'm saying that they are not talking abuse. Because we are talking about the abuse, we're not talking about the religion. We are talking about the abuse of the business and then creation for people, it's commercialized. In fact, there's a saying now that if you want to be rich, just open a small father shed. And then some of the doctors are no longer going for hospital. They go and open some father shed. They want more money than being doctors. Because generally, there's a view that you make a lot of money there. Then it's something that is wrong. You must address it. And then you can't address it ourselves, but the people who are practicing must address it. What you should do, just give them a platform. So I think they are willing to get involved with us.
And then we can move on that. And we have dealt with our recommendations. And of course, I think the structure in the conference will be presented, the proposal, how you want to do it. But we hope that the commission itself is going to look at this, who are invited, and then how it works. We interact with you from time to time when you need us to sit down. We'll be available, talk, see how we move around on this issue. And then you decide when you think is appropriate, and take then our people with you. And then, of course, people, I think, they'll be prepared to come in, and independent, non-independent, and some people in cultural side of things will be invited. I think can be worked out by all of us, really. I think we are open for that. Governance structures, I think, should be worked out on that. Is the issue on our Masondo, then that the scholars, they can be invited. I would be happy also on our Mzeha also be invited to give some input on some of these issues, because it's very good to broaden the understanding of the religious sector. And then we'll work out on this matter. And then the point is made, of course, that beef up the existing laws. While we are waiting for a bigger issue, but beef up the existing laws. It can't be right that suddenly you buy my house, I'm your neighbor, the next day is a big church. I can't get out of my yard because we have, the cars are parked everywhere, and then people start being intimidated. I think it's illegal to do so. And then those who are running the state must apply the law. Irregardless whether you are a religious person or not, must apply the law. When you break the law, you break the law. The parking bays are clearly defined. It's a parking bay. And you can't just take the entire Commissioner Street in Johannesburg. Then you can't pass anywhere now. And it can't be right that buildings that are not meant, some of them are very dangerous anyway. They are condemned buildings, and people are put there. And it can't be right. I think the existing laws must be beefed up, but implement them. I think the point that is made. And then the department that deal with registration must register them. We must know sometimes how many religious bodies we have. And then one day we'll know also how many priests we have. Maybe we have oversupply of priests. We may then request them to be plumbers and then to do other work generally. If they're oversupply, maybe they're oversupply of them. Then we have to know exactly how is it working, can assist us a lot on that. And then the issue of self-regulation will be a result of engagement. Code of conduct would also be a result of engagement. And then the whole issue of adverts also really is an issue that will also be addressed by that area. But I think if we address all the issues that members have raised, I think we can then have a platform to say, Priest Mason, with respect, I think you are not behaving according to what agreed by national conference. Even if you are not there, but I think all your cousins would have been there, there will be some sense of people belonging and assisting us to implement that. Doesn't mean that we'll get rid of all the problems that we are facing, but it's a start of addressing the bigger problem that we are facing. I think the members are saying that's how we should try our level best to do issues, and also thanking the leadership of the commission that we have provoked this discussion. And then we have never discussed it even ourselves until you started. Has assisted all of us now as we move around. Is one of the issues that we do public hearing on the traditional leadership. The observation also was about the issue that we raised, and confirming them, there's a problem seriously. Yeah. And then I think now it's assisting us with this platform. And the honorable member, then we'll finalize our report. Then in our next meeting, you'll have it, but I think we have adopted it. It's corrected accordingly. Then at a certain point, then we'll take to the National Assembly, present it, and then we'll see then how to do it in terms of other matters. In terms of the purpose of the meeting today, I think we have dealt with it. We thought that we should be today and tomorrow. It seems that members have read the documentation. They've conducted some research on Abu Dhabi, on religious affairs. I know that's also good. Do have your own Spaza church. There is Spaza one. You are also advertising Lost Lava. come back, I'll give you water, and then I'll give you Makande and Yoga, I'll be right. And then all these things that are not working for you. And then we'll do that on Abumasondo. I think then it's very clear that at least today we have done our work. The secret trip is going to amend the areas that we have already proposed to be amended. I think if those organizations that are listed here, Chairperson, all of them can make some contribution, we can have a very successful conference for 5 days, really. Because all of them are saying that they need it, then they must put money. Fourth, I think you are there also, yes, sir. You can't come here and fight with us and on behalf of the religion, and you don't want us to go there and hear you in the broader forum. And then it's a very good idea that we are doing. And thank you for all of you, priests, and the commission, the professor. Thank you, Chairperson. I know that now you are facing an issue of working with the tax collectors, and then that everyone. Because you can't say you're an NGO, but you are paying a person salary of 150,000 rand. But that person doesn't pay tax. You can't just be right. And then you cover that thing as a church issue. You can't be right. Because non-profit organization can't pay that type of salary. Not even members of parliament anyway can get such salary. But we don't pay tax and all these things. I think SARS is taking a good decision. Again, as a result of your good work. Even if, of course, we have to protect you, but it was a good work, because then it provoked everyone to discuss about this, and then hopefully we'll be able then to resolve some of these issues also. And then thank you for members to take your time. We are very exhausted already before we start election for next year. And I think members are exhausted already. And then thank you very much for your recommendations and thanks for this attendance. I think we can adjourn our meeting. And of course, Chairperson's secretary is here. We'll link up with her. If there are issues that you want to come and present to us as a committee, of course, every member of the society, if they want to interact with community, they are free to do so. And then the secretary, they go, they request a space to give them space and engage. And then Parliament is always open for public, for engagement, and then I think we are going to do so. And then thank you very much for this, and thank you for your good work. We can agree that the meeting should be adjourned. And tomorrow then, we won't have this meeting because we have finalized it today. We wanted to continue because we thought that these matters are very difficult matters. And then now we do have a day tomorrow. And then Thursday we are meeting Honorable Melham. I think we must be happy now that the minister is coming.
On which date, yeah?
Is he coming on the 6th?
Jay, just a query on that?
Chair, I'm very happy about that. But I understand that we've been invited to a joint meeting on the 6th with water and sanitation and agriculture, forestry, and fisheries, where all the ministers are going to be present, etc., etc., to discuss the water crisis.
We have not received any invitation.
Okay. So at this stage, our meeting with the minister is going ahead.
As far as our concerns, we have been requesting
this. Yes, Chair, I'm very happy about that.
That the minister must come.
Yes, he must come.
Because what's enjoyed,
he's going to attend all of
the areas. That's why he's accounting on the street.
the mutual trust.
And the committee talk are two separate things. And but I think, colleagues, thank you very much for your input. Thank you for this work.